This is Hamtramck, Hamtramck, Michigan, population 28,000. And what got them on our radar this week, what got them on our radar this week is they've decided to forbid the pride flag in the state of Michigan. In their town, they can only have the American, the Michigan flag, the city flag, and the POW/MIA flag, according to the Washington Post. We're going to talk about how this town that is now made up mostly or exclusively of Muslim city council members, how this kind of theologically based policymaking can break the church, and what we can do to fix it. This is Church is Lame.
So I don't want to kink shame, but I mean, whoever named this town, I'm looking at this, I'm like, you had spelled that wrong, but I know you didn't.
Right. Apparently, like, they were doing a lot of shopping at IKEA back then. But no, evidently, the town back in the day was heavily of Polish descent.
Okay.
Hence the name. Yeah. So I don't think I did a good job of summarizing. So let me go through this again. We have Hamtramck, I'm assuming it's a short A sound, population 28,000, was predominantly Polish, but as immigration has displaced a lot of people, a large Muslim community has been established here, and now the city council is exclusively Muslim. We're seeing, as we're going to show just in a second here, that their town policies have become predominantly beneficial to the Muslim community specifically. And what's surprising about this and why it's on the show is because you'd think that the church, the Christian church, would go bad, very bad. But apparently they're kind of raising this up as a how-to of theologically based policy.
Yeah, that's a pretty disturbing thing right there. I mean, because like theocracy is something that I have a very, very severe allergy to.
That's a great way to put it. Yeah, true.
I don't want to say this flippantly. In my opinion, like, one of the worst things to ever happen to the church was Constantine.
Right.
Is because when the Christian church was able to find its footings within the halls of power, it became something perverse. If there's anything that I think that like Christians need, it's to have their political power stripped of them for once. And something like this, I think, is just going to embolden some of the wackier elements out there to really make the world a living hell for anybody who's not, you know, professing Christ.
Absolutely.
And I take issue with that. We're supposed to love our neighbors and we're supposed to love our enemies. So.
Yep. So let me just really quick do a quick synopsis of some of the more eyebrow-raising policies that have been enacted in this town, and then we can start, then we can grind our axes until the cows come home, which is, like, more metaphors squished together than should be allowed by law.
Yeah, I mean, there's no cows around here. We're gonna wait a while.
Well, it is Indiana, so you never know if one's going to come, like moseying through. Okay, so here's just a few of the things that have been enacted. A noise ordinance that allows local mosques to issue the call to prayer over a PA system in the town. Doesn't sound like that's not too crazy, right? So it doesn't sound too crazy. Business owners located within 500 feet of one of the four mosques are prohibited from owning a liquor license. So if you have a bar, you are out of luck. If you have a hotel that has a mini bar or a bar built in, restaurants, you know, liquor stores. If you are within 500 feet of a mosque, you are SOL. Yeah, so those are just a couple of the things that they've done in recent times to put forward a clearly Muslim forward agenda. You know, and you would think that the modern day religious right would go crazy over it, but the Christian Action Network, who was repped by Martin Mawer.
Man, we've just picked the lottery for hard to pronounce names.
No kidding. So he's quoted as saying, They did what so many Christians are too timid to do. They fought back. We must be unwavering, stand firm in our convictions, make our voices heard politically, and defend the word of God with zeal and passion. So to the Christian Action Network, this is the template for how to move forward with Christian politics.
Yeah, and I'm going to go ahead and have to disagree with you there, Bob. This is not the way.
Yes.
I'm just accidentally kind of referencing The Mandalorian there. I apologize. I would have loved to have done it on purpose, but hey, yeah, I mean, that's demented. I mean, like, allowing them to, you know, issue the prayer call. I mean, it's like we have churches with church bells. So, like, I've got no problem with that. But then just saying that you can't sell liquor within 500 feet, like, that is the definition of imposing a religious standard on a community that doesn't, you know, necessarily practice a religion.
Right.
So how that's the standard for like how Christians should engage in politics is,
yeah,
it's absolutely absurd to me.
It is. It's interesting because one of the bedrock things we learn about as children in America is a fundamental separation of church and state is what makes America unique and one of the original ingredients that have gone into America being as prosperous and as consistent in its blessing over time, mm-hmm, is the ability to understand that a state-sanctioned religion hurts far more than it helps. And we seem to have lost that. We seem to be regressing back to a point where nobody can think about policy unemotionally. So now, mm-hmm, all policy is tied to something emotional, whether it's some sort of nostalgic vision of what America used to be, or sometimes some sort of religious vision, or, you know, a theocratic vision, or something like that. Like there's everything now is attached to an emotional whip that is meant to get you into a frenzy. You know, and this is on both sides of the political spectrum, but like we seem to have lost the ability just to look at numbers and to look at the original rights that we've been endowed and say what is good or what is bad to maintain these rights and to maintain the original intent of wanting to separate ourselves from a monarchy that seek to use and oppress us. You know, we seem to have lost the ability, mm-hmm, to think in those terms.
And like there's difficulty, I think, when like we look at scripture and we try to apply scripture to like, you know, the present moment, right?
Yeah.
Because nothing in the Bible was written in a cultural situation that is the same as ours, governmental situation, which is the same as ours.
Yeah.
So, you know, we have to take principles and then try to move them forward.
Yeah.
But in no way, shape or form is there any, you know, principle in the New Testament, nothing that Jesus taught, nothing that Paul taught or John or Peter, anybody, that would allow for this kind of just this savagery toward people that aren't part of our believing community.
Yeah.
And I think what makes this maybe even worse is that the same person that's looking at this and saying, oh, well, this is a template for us. Like these Muslims, they fought back for their faith. Well, yeah, but these Christians are going to come in and they're going to try to kick those Muslims out.
Right.
Because like these are the same types of Christians that were happy to prevent people from coming in this country simply based on religion, which is not loving. So,
right. There's so many bad metaphors coming up this episode, but you live by the sword, you die by the sword, right?
Yeah.
And so it doesn't matter what faith tradition you come from, but if you come in and you overtake a town, a state, a country by force, there's no reason to think that you yourself will not somehow, sometime, be taken over in the same way, you know? Because by you doing it, you've basically said it's okay to do it this way. Like, these are the rules of the game, and this is the law of the jungle. The strongest survive,
yeah,
right? And I'm having a hard time at the moment, in today's climate, envisioning the status quo allowing for a Muslim theocracy to become the norm.
Yeah, or, you know, for Christians to follow suit.
Well, that part's at least easier to envision, even though it's hard to envision it. It's easier to envision.
Yeah. I mean, I'm hoping that with at least like this liquor selling ban, I'm hoping that somebody takes that to court, because I feel like that is the definition of, you know, Gear establishing like a religious principle here. Like, so like that's an issue. So maybe that will, hopefully it'll happen. That will discourage Christians from moving forward. But it's not, I mean, it's not any, you know, more encouraging though, when like what basically Martin Marr here is trying to say is that we need a Christian holy war.
Yeah.
He's like him and his ilk are never going to call it a holy war because of that term being associated with Islam, which is the hypocrisy here. But that's what, like, that's what this guy is legitimately calling for. And that is, that's not Jesus, man.
We are now very much short-term thinkers in America, right? We love Twitter and we love to communicate 140 characters at a time. Instead of telling somebody a good story about our vacation, we'd just rather share some pictures, you know? We are very short-term thinkers. And so we see this one city that has become Muslim-led, and we kind of just let roll off our back because it's just one city. But nobody mm-hmm. wants to look forward to the day where there's more and more Latinos doing things they want to do the way they want to do it. There's more and more Muslims doing things the way they want to do it. There's more and more Christians doing things the way they want to do it. And guess what? As more and more people are doing things they want to do, there's less and less space to work together. And eventually, they're going to have to confront one another. You know, and this idea that, oh, when we get to that point, that'll be the point where we learn to live together in harmony. Like when we get there, it's like, no, I don't think that's how it works. You know?
Yeah, no, because like when you're using the power of law to enforce a particular behavior merely because it comports with your religious ideals.
Yeah.
I mean that's force.
Yeah.
That is force. I'm not gonna call it violence, but it is force.
Right.
And I do think that, you know, we as Christians should reject uses of force like that.
Yeah.
And it's, I'm not like trying to say it's because merely because it's like, you know, it's a freedom or anything like that. It's just like, no, it's because it, like, that scripturally it isn't our concern what somebody who doesn't believe what we believe do.
Absolutely. And not only is it forced, but it's also just cruel and unusual punishment. Like, okay, so today Muslims are in charge, so we have Muslim law. And then tomorrow Christians are in charge, so we have Christian law. And 10 years from now, the Wiccans are in charge, so now we have Wiccan law, right? And it doesn't do society any good for laws to wildly swing back and forth without anybody being able to predict what tomorrow's normal is going to be. You know what I mean? That to me is the very definition of cruel and unusual from a policy standpoint. And then the other thing I wanted to say about how this breaks the church specifically, because I know that we've been talking a lot about law today.
Yeah.
Churches are not unions. The idea is not to collectively bargain in order to break the back of the man, right? The idea is to collectively pool our resources to ease the burdens of the world, to bring the kingdom here, to make real the love and the compassion and the charity that Jesus had for all of us, and to make that real in tangible ways, not to break anybody's back, as you know, whether they're good or bad or evil or whatever. That's a distortion of, it's like a combination of this prosperity gospel and now this new generation of I don't even know, like fundamentalist thinking all put together. Yeah. You know, that we're just going to break the backs of anybody who doesn't think the way we do. And we're going to do it together because somehow the more of us that do it makes it more right or something, you know?
Yeah. It's like, I mean, I'm thinking of Jeremiah, you know, because like, it's just a section of text I was looking at, like, for writing my sermon for Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like, you know, on that day, no one will say to another, know the Lord, because the law will be written on their hearts.
Yeah.
Like that's an this wonderful eschatological vision of what like the final age will look like.
Yeah.
Is people will just do this from within.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And like that's the kind of Christianity that I want us to be projecting forward.
Yeah. Absolutely. So I think we have a pretty good idea of of why this irks us so much. So let's talk about how we can fix it. How we can make sure that the church doesn't follow suit in a way that is really ultimately self-destructive. Mm-hmm. And so I said this: if it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it's a duck. And if the duck is religious zealotry in public policy drag, don't be that duck, right? And so when you see the thing that you hate and your goal is to be more like it, the thing that you hate is not the problem. Your goals are. And so it's really important that the church not get swept up in this tidal wave of might makes right. Because that was not the message of Jesus on the cross. You know, the message of Jesus on the cross is sometimes you have to die for people to see the bigger love, the agape love, the God kind of love. Like sometimes you have to die to self for that to happen.
Yeah. You know, I think like, you know, Christians, you know, being who we are is like, we venerate the, you know, the golden rule as, you know, like the ethical standard, like, you know, the ethical standard, you know, just this is where we kind of start from, right? Is that, you know, like, you know, whatever you don't want to have somebody do to you, don't do to somebody else.
Exactly.
And so like this kind of behavior really kind of jumps the shark. And you kind of forfeit your moral authority when you don't live up to that standard. And I think this is a standard that like most Americans, religious or not, are more than happy to agree with.
I think so too. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think that like, you know, we need to remind ourselves and each other as believers that is our ethical standard. That'd at least be like my fix. But I think, you know, it's not as fun as dressing up in drag, I guess. But you know,
no, never. Like you can never have enough. There's nothing wrong, by the way, with dressing up in drag. That's not the point.
I just watched The Birdcage last night.
Yep,
such a fun movie.
Like if you just enjoy being that kind of exuberance, by all means, live your best life. Just don't call what it is in Christ's name necessarily. All right, so we're Church is Lame. You may have watched this episode and thought, man, Mark and Scott really have it out for the church, but we really don't. We actually love the church. We participate in church. We serve the church. We want to see the church do well. We want to see Jesus' name spread everywhere. But there's no doubt that the Christian Action Network and all the other Christians who think that it's time to, you know, take it to government, whatever, we know, by whatever means necessary, we think things like these ultimately break the church. And this show is a place where we take these examples of what break the church, and we put them in one place. So when the question asks, how come nobody takes church seriously anymore? Here's your answer. You're welcome. So if you've got something to say, by all means, shoot us an email, churcheslamepodcast@gmail.com, or go to YouTube and leave a comment and press those thumbs up and thumbs down and super thanks and all likes and shares and click, 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 and like and subscribe.
With that, go in peace and serve the Lord. Amen.
And hey, if you got something out of this episode in particular that you want to see more of, somewhere up around me is a card that'll take you to our playlist called Pathetic Politics. By all means, feel free to click and enjoy. Thanks a lot.